fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Watch the mismatch last night? Could you believe all the fumbles and dropped balls? All the diversions and attempted fakeouts, not to mention lots and lots of running. Of course, I'm talking about Bill O'Reilly and President Obama. And I can say that because I'm Lair Adams of the mean old American Adversaries who have bullied their way into Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. What a tour de force of avoiding and ignoring direct questions by the people, in this case, the Irishman. You know, I have no doubt our president and liberals are aliens. They are the Borg. At least they follow the Borg's credo. We only wish to improve the quality of life for all species, just like little tin gods. By the way, what happens when you add an N to the Dow? You have down, way down. At least today, our host isn't worried, though. He knows whatever goes down must go, where, Chris? A downer? Anyway, he's an upper. Christopher Hart!
We're looking for that dead cat bounce, they call it. Gary Kaltbaum will fill you in on the market. We're going to fill you in on the other stuff. And if anything,
well, that's more like a thud, isn't it?
Yeah, if Obama was running from anything last night, it was the truth. Okay, folks, welcome to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660. And we are coming to you live from the mercury-free broadcasting studios in beautiful Altamont Springs, Florida. That's right, folks. For the best in mercury-free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. I want to say a few words about Dr. Hardy, but real quick, you mentioned Obama and Democrats are aliens.
Yes.
Was that a reference back to our War of the Words?
Yeah. Well, I just saw that episode the other day with the Borg, and they made that statement. We just want to improve the quality of life for all species.
Well, I tell you what, if you want somebody to...
We're gods. We want to make everything better and happy.
Yeah, well, we did a little spoof on the alien nature of the Democrats and others in our government back in 2010 on Halloween night. We call it War of the Words, and it is on our archive on our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. Just go to the archive, and you'll find it there. Or you can just go straight to Podbean. That's Podbean, podbean.com, and you can find us under American Adversaries there. But I want to welcome Dr. James E. Hardy to the American Adversaries team. And folks, I'd like you to do the same thing, too. It's very, very... Well, it's not just important, it's essential. It is the lifeblood of this show is advertisers and sponsors. Without them, we cannot do the show. Lair and I have been doing this show now for 3.5 years, and be honest with you, our cupboards are getting pretty bare and our wells are pretty dry. We need sponsors, and when we get somebody like Dr. James E. Hardy, we are very grateful for it. And I'd like for you folks, if you like this show, to show your gratitude to that man for being a part of our organization here. here.
Well, nonetheless, the fact that he has this wonderful practice that does something most other dentists don't do.
And if you need a dentist, if you are considering having dental work, I want you to call Dr. James E. Hardy for that reason. Mercury Free Dentistry. I first heard Dr. James Hardy on radio, ironically enough, and I hadn't gone to a dentist for a long time because I was very dissatisfied with the last dentist I'd gone to, and he had packed my mouth with a bunch of mercury-laced, what they call euphemistically silver fillings, and my health wasn't all that great when I had these things in my mouth. I would get colds on a regular basis, flus, things of this nature. I heard Dr. Hardy on the radio, and I said, I need to go see this guy. He's got a very professional staff. Joe Lee is one of the finest dental hygienists in the whole state. And his other staff, they're all great. Dana, Peggy, Renee, give them a call. Just call them and say thanks. We appreciate you being a part of the American Adversaries. And if I need dental work or if I want to change dentists, I'm going to call you because Christopher Hart said to. 407-678-3399. You're going to know that number by heart because being that this studio is now named after Mercury Free Dentistry with Dr. James Hardy, we're going to be repeating that number over and over. So I encourage you to use it. It's important to the show. Folks, it's important to you, too, because as Lara said, this man practices mercury-free dentistry.
That includes removing the mercury fillings in your mouth because they are dangerous.
That's absolutely right. Now, he's going to be a guest on our show. He has been in the past, and we're going to give him a formal introduction.
He's written a book on it,
and so we've got lots yet to introduce to you with him, but I just want to welcome him to our organization because, as I say, they call this a brokered show, and that's because we pay for the airtime. We don't get paid to do the show. But the longer we do the show, the more I'm starting to think maybe brokered show means if you ain't real careful, you will go broke doing this show. Exactly. So we need sponsors. We need advertisers. And when we get them, we need you folks to show your appreciation to them, either by just thanking them, for a starter, or if possible, using their product or services.
And let them know that you heard about them on our show.
On our show. But it's very exciting when this does happen because it does mean that we can just carry the ball that much further. And this is the way we want it, though. We don't want handouts. Be honest with you, I didn't want to be an employee of a radio station. Bud Brewer, a longtime radio guy here in Central Florida, told us, Lara and I, in one of our first meetings when we first started putting this whole project together, and he told me, I believe after the meeting, but we had a meeting with him, he said, radio was my greatest job, my worst career. Because when you are basically at the whim of the management of the station, be honest with you, you're at the whim of the management of the station.
And ratings, et cetera.
Now, that doesn't mean, something couldn't change and we're not out the door. But the bottom line is we have much greater control over the destiny of this show being a brokered show. So we like that. We're not complaining about it. But we just would like you folks to help us make it all work. And certainly, if you like this show, a phone call to Dr. James E. Hardy ain't asking much. Just to say, hey, thanks. Put their answering service to work last night. Give them a call, 407-678-3399, and say, what's this mercury-free business all about? So once again, for the foreseeable future, we will be broadcasting to you live Sunday through Friday starting at 5 from the Mercury-Free Broadcasting Studios. We'll be right back.
The battle is heating up. You're listening to The American Adversaries, if you can take it.
All right, welcome back, folks, to The American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660, The Answer. And that's right, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios in beautiful Altamont Springs, Florida. And introduced our new sponsor, Dr. James Hardy, Mercury Free Dentistry, in the first segment. And it was great for me. By the way, mercury is the most toxic naturally occurring substance known to human beings.
And even more than radon?
Absolutely. And it will definitely can affect your, if you're overexposed to it, can definitely affect your autoimmune system and any neurological type disorders. Anyway, we have a caller, Willie, who's had his mercury-free fillings removed. Let me see if he's had the same sort of reaction that I have, where I have far fewer colds and haven't had the flu since I've gotten mine out. Willie, thanks for calling.
Well, Chris, I enjoyed the show, and thanks for taking my phone call.
Appreciate it. Go ahead.
I was fortunate back in my home state of Texas before I moved here to run into a dentist that I used for a while. He recommended that I have all my old fillings taken out, and he put more of like a ceramic type thing in. I'm not sure what the substance is, but he goes, he told me the same thing you guys are doing a quarter century later, that mercury is toxic,
yep,
and we got to get them out.
Yep. It's
and he did that, and I was in the military. I took my flu shot every year for 6 years, and I've never taken a flu shot since then.
That's right. I stay away from them because, you know what? A lot of flu shots have, guess what, in them.
Yes.
You know, the administration, the EPA, and a lot of, you know, greenies worry about mercury that comes out of coal-fired stacks and coal plants, but it is minuscule when you compare that to the amount that we stick in our kids and our own mouths, you know, on a regular basis.
Hold on, Chris, was that greenies or weenies?
I think either term applies.
I appreciate y'all, and I certainly do enjoy the show.
Hey, could you do me a favor and just call Dr. Hardy and just relate to him that you heard about it on the show,
yeah,
and your experiences with it, because he will be very gratified to hear that.
I will do that, and God bless y'all.
Well, thank you, and the same to you, and please do keep listening. And his number, by the way, folks, is 407-678-3399. Okay, I want to go now to our man in Jerusalem, and who knows, he may now have himself a career in Las Vegas, because even though we had a couple of people on the show, including Reggie Branch, former Super Bowl champion himself, who said the Seattle Seahawks would win, no one said that they would win as big as this big man did. And of course, I'm talking about our man, Abe Katzman. Hey, Abe, thanks again for being with us tonight. Were you ever right or what?
Yeah, happy to be here providing mercury-free commentary and sports predictions.
Right.
Excuse me, Abe, are you mercury-free?
I believe I am. I'll have to look more closely in my mouth, but I think I am mercury-free.
It's the so-called silver fillings. If it's basically not the color of your tooth, it's a mercury filling. And you might, you know, when you go next time you go to the dentist, think about having him replace that for you. But let's get back to this. How did you know it was going to be so? You predicted they'd win by how many points?
I think I said by 21.
As a matter of fact, you did, and on our show say that. What gave you the impression they would win so big?
Well, first, I thought they would win. Secondly, I'm a hopeless Seattle booster, and just figured I'd say something outrageous.
Well, that's something outrageous.
You know, no one, if you're wrong, everyone forgets about it. If you're right, then people think, wow, that was really amazing.
lucky guess.
No, I tell you. I think Michael Medved said on his show, and he's quite right, that at least generally speaking, a good defense will shut down a good offense. And boy, did that ever play out last night. The Seahawks just overwhelmed the Broncos on both sides of the ball. They just controlled the whole line of scrimmage, special teams, everything. So yeah, you were quite right.
Well, I'll tell you, my there was some logic to it. Not the 21 points part. That was kind of a joke. Although now I should claim that it was in all seriousness.
Of course.
They won the NFC West, which is a very, by far the toughest division.
It is, yeah.
In the NFL. And I had said a couple of weeks before, I said that the Seattle-San Francisco game was really the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I didn't think either team would have trouble against Denver.
Yeah. Well, our colleague Carl Jackson thought it would be San Francisco, but he thought that either team would, because of their defense, would be able to handle Denver, even though his wife is a huge Denver Broncos fan. Poor thing had to suffer through that last night. But Yeah, I have to admit, I was caught off guard because I watched that San Francisco-Seattle game, and I didn't think they looked as sharp as the Broncos did, but what I mistook for lack of sharpness was actually just both teams had excellent defenses, but the Seattle, obviously had the better.
Yep. No, I think that's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, way to go. And next time, I'll put some money on your back and we'll see how that goes. But all right. But in all seriousness, Abe, while the Super Bowl weeks has been going on, a lot of big things have been going on over there as well. The first thing I'd like to talk to you about is, first, I saw an article last week where I believe it was one of the Israeli cabinet ministers stood up and basically said what the article claimed was being said in private, that if Israel doesn't make a deal with the Palestinians, the European Union is going to initiate sanctions against Israel. And then evidently this past weekend, in a meeting with Zarif from Iran, John Kerry made the same warning/threat. How's that playing out?
It's not playing out well. Israel is not happy about this. There may even be people who agree with Kerry, but to say this kind of thing publicly is counterproductive. There's a complaint from Israel that these kind of veiled threats force them into a position of negotiating with a gun at their head. Kerry, a couple of months ago, said that if they didn't reach a deal, that Israel would possibly see another intifada. So, he should not be the person stirring up these possibilities.
No.
And, yeah.
Well, if John Kerry actually wants a peace deal between the Palestinians and the Israelis, he has just shot the thing all to hell, excuse my French, because now what incentive do the Palestinians have to make peace with Israel? All they've got to do is sit back, let the deal fall through, let the Europeans and evidently the United States, too, put pressure on Israel, then to come back to the table and make more concessions to the Palestinians. This is absolute insanity, Abe.
Yeah, that's pretty much the thinking of the people in Israel. And a number of people, even cabinet ministers, have made exactly that point. The intelligence minister, Yuval Steinitz, came out and, he had guns blazing. And he called the comments offensive, unreasonable, unacceptable. And I think he even said it's impossible to expect Israel to negotiate with a gun to its head. I think that was his quote. It really is. It's just it's a stupid thing to say if you actually have any hope of anything happening. Now, that is a question in itself, whether there's any hope of anything happening, of any kind of agreement, that of anybody coming to that. But even assuming that no deal is forthcoming, and that seems to be the way things are working out, to suggest to the Europeans, to kind of flash them a green light for some of these countries that have been itching to apply sanctions or boycotts to Israel, that's not a good way for an ally to treat another ally.
Absolutely not.
Well, Abe, let me ask you this. Now that our wonderful president's going to come over there and straighten the people out in Saudi Arabia, do you think he'll make a stop there? And what do you think about this trip? This is not a democracy he's going to go visit. What can he do for the Saudis?
I don't know what he is actually going to do. I assume he's going there to try to shore up some support, because they have not been happy with, especially with America's moves relative to Iran. And I guess he feels if he goes there personally that I don't know if that bestows honor upon them or if he actually has confidential things to discuss with them. I don't know. But that's the context you have to look at it in.
Abe, I want to go back to the sanctions just for a minute, because I believe I also have read that the Europeans are already initiating some sanctions against Israel, having to do with businesses in the West Bank. So lest anybody think that the Europeans wouldn't look to punish Israel, which is, in my mind, is what's going on here, they're already starting down that road, aren't they?
Yeah, they've done that in a few places. There's talk of marking all products that come out of the West Bank with some kind of mark, so that all consumers will know that that's where they came from. I know that there are people who suggested that the mark be a yellow star.
Right.
I don't know that anybody in Israel fully understands why there's this degree of European anti-Semitism.
Well, that
goes back centuries. So it's really nothing new.
That's right. I was just going to say, you know, basically it's just a continuation of the same boycott that's been going on anyway. They've hated you guys. I mean, really, yeah. It's ridiculous. They have a long history of it, but they're trying to act so fair.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call that fair, but but Abe, I want to continue this with you. We only got a minute left in this segment. With those threats, does Netanyahu feel, do you think he feels more compelled to make a deal, or does this kind of get his dander up and be more defiant than ever?
I think it makes him more defiant. I think he was defiant enough. He does not like where Secretary Kerry has been pushing him, and I think that this offends his sensibilities and will make it harder to get Israel to agree to any kind of deal, even if everything else were worked out.
Okay. All right, Abe, if you'll stay with us through the break, we'll continue this conversation after, and Nasser Dennis is going to join us as well. We'll pick up some other big topics like Iran, President's comments yesterday about Benghazi, some other things we'll be talking about with Abe Katzman. If you'd like to join us, folks, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, we are coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios.
And wouldn't that make you feel better if you had that stuff out of your mouth? Oh, my gosh. I just look in there. It's like, oh, I got to get that material out. Folks, American Adversaries, we'll be right back.
Here is tonight's American Adversary SoundbiteRx.com News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Tonight's SoundbiteRx.com News Minute is being brought to you by Lake Mary Jewelers. For that special gift, for that special someone, go to Lake Mary Jewelers at the intersection of Lake Mary Boulevard and Lake Emma Road. Call them today, 407-878-6230. Now, here's Christopher Hart with Ted Boger of SoundbiteRx.com.
Folks, did you ever want to give President Obama an earful? Well, some few people did get that chance, and they took advantage of it. According to a Newsmax article that you can find on SoundbiteRx.com, President Obama was confronted with questions about Obamacare Friday during a Google Plus Hangout road trip, quote-unquote, that allowed Americans to ask him questions directly. The event had been touted as a way to voice concerns to the president, but many people logged on to ask him difficult questions and to complain about many of the less popular features of his signature health care reform, reports the Washington Times. I quote, "I cannot keep my plan, which I like," Kentuckian Rebecca Stewart told Obama. "I've spent weeks with days on the phone getting confidently worded wrong answers, conflicting information, and it's becoming quite obvious to me that a lot of agencies, almost everyone I've talked to, is having a lot of trouble figuring out the new rules." And Mr. Obama said, someone from the White House will call her directly to give her, quote unquote, the right answer. But Obama told others, hopefully we'll get the right answer to you. And others still complained more and more. So President Obama said, well, in the end, I think the one thing Americans agree on is that if you work full time in this country, you should not be in poverty when you're raising your family. This is what he said in response to a man who said, I only make $7.25 an hour. Now that's going to be taken away from me because I can't afford this health care insurance. So, folks, when you do get a chance, when people do get a chance, they do give the president an earful because he is not making their lives better. He is making it more miserable. But to make your life better by being more informed, please go to soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back.
Adversaries, tough guy, ho!
And away we go, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. We are the American Adversaries in drive time on AM 660. The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and along with Lair Adams, we're in the studio. We have our man in Jerusalem, who is in Jerusalem, Abe Katzman, on the line with us, and our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, who's across town in headquarters, has joined us as well. And you can join us, too. We have an open line, 407-774-8255 is the number. Abe, the Palestinian talks themselves, does it appear that there's any progress at all, or is it just basically come to a stop?
It looks like it's come pretty close to a stop. To John Kerry's credit, one of the things that he's putting forward in this framework is that the Palestinians recognize Israel as being a Jewish state, the state of the Jewish people, two lands for two peoples. And the Palestinians aren't going along with that. They still insist on their so-called right of return, where they would want to come back in and flood Israel with the descendants of everybody who left the area in 1948. The Jordanian press in particular has been, I think, out ahead of this a little bit, showing that the Palestinians are already rejecting what everyone assumes are the workings of this framework. One of the reasons there's no official framework yet, I think, is that Kerry does not want to present something that then gets immediately rejected by one or both sides. So I think that's why there's a delay. Everybody's talking about a framework, but there really are no proposals out there.
Yeah.
Kind of like that Iran deal.
Exactly.
It's supposed to be a deal, but nobody knows exactly what terms are in it.
And I want to get to that next, but it kind of even goes back to the Pelosi thing. You know, you let us make the deal, and then you'll find out what's in it, kind of thing. But in this case, they don't even make a deal. But you mentioned the Iranian thing, and I wanted to go to that next. It is still impossible to get the details of that. SoundbiteRx.com ran a story where a congresswoman here was complaining that even members of Congress can't, and that the deal itself is being held in a secret location. I mean, of all things, is that your understanding, Abe? Does anybody know what's in the thing?
That seems to be what's in it. That seems to be, I mean, nobody knows exactly what's in it. I suppose John Kerry does. I suppose a few of the negotiators do. The Iranians seem to know what's in it, and they seem to be pretty happy with it.
Well, I was going to say, as part of this article, a nuclear expert, Gary Jones, I believe was his name, he said that he doesn't think the administration realizes what they've signed on to, but obviously the Iranians do. And if the administration does realize it, they've basically given away the store. In other words, the Iranian interpretation of the deal seems to be accurate. Is that at all reassuring, Abe?
No, this is what we saw when they first announced the deal also back in November, when it was still a framework, a draft, whatever it was, and the White House was making denials about accusations that it was giving up too much, that it was letting Iran continue with uranium enrichment,
right,
and building a fusion reactor.
Yeah.
And the White House was denying it, and then finally they had to come around and say, yeah, you know what, that is what we agreed to.
That's all.
So,
in, yeah.
I don't know. I think the White House statements cannot automatically be trusted, and that is not a good thing.
And the latest out of the European negotiators, evidently, is that 6 months may not be enough. We may need to extend this little deal a little bit further. Even more troublesome, right, Abe?
Yeah. You know, I think one lesson that you can see from this also is what's happened in Syria, where they made a big deal about supposedly solving the crisis of what to do about Syrian chemical weapons.
Right.
Well, so far, Syria has cleared out a grand total of 4% of its weapons. They've got 1 million pounds of chemical weapons. And even though the deadline was at the end of December, that's it. 4% has been moved. Assad, who is an ally of the Iranians, is hoarding weapons in Alawite areas. He denies that he's that he's doing so, but, you know, he's lied about everything else so far. He lied a couple of years ago about whether he had a nuclear reactor or not, and then all of a sudden Israel bombed it, and I guess, well, he did.
Yeah.
So these guys are not truth tellers. These are not people who are negotiating in good faith, neither Iran nor Syria.
Well, Abe, we have our own chemical weapon, and we call him Nostradamus. And he's on the other line right now with a question for you. Nostradamus!
I've apologized for that. It was the tacos.
Oh, well, okay.
Sorry. First, Abe, let me say, all hail Abe Katzman, prognosticator du jour. Well done, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
And if anybody does not believe that Abe predicted the Seahawks would win by 3 touchdowns, go to our Facebook page, click onto the American Adversaries link. It'll bring you to the show. It tells you where to listen to hear him say 20, 21 points. And we all said, oh, come on, that's crazy.
Yeah, Abe, you didn't mean 20, 21. You meant 20 plus 21 points.
that would have been even more accurate.
I will say this, though, guys. My prediction of Denver 30, Seattle 21, that adds up to 51 points. There were exactly 51 points scored in the game last.
I know.
That's pretty good.
I apologize. I'm the one that cracked your crystal ball, and it keeps giving you these foggy readings. All right. Go ahead, Nostradamus.
Serious question, though, Abe. I'm wondering if you've heard the remarks by Iranian Brigadier General Hossein Salami.
Is that his real name?
His name.
What does General Salami have to say?
He's the top commander of the Revolutionary Guard in Iran, and he says his forces have plans in place to attack the United States from within should the U.S. attack the Islamic Republic. He says, we will conduct such a blow in which they, meaning us, will be destroyed from within should they decide they're going to attack the Islamic Republic in any way.
Huh.
Well, I don't know what actual agents they have in the country or what sort of assets they've got. You know, it's not uncommon for there to be this kind of blustery talk. That's probably what it is, although you never know.
What do you think of the odds?
Yeah. Iran by 21 points.
Yeah, there you go.
I was going to say, Abe, in this day and age, in this world, you know, when our enemies are so bold about telling us what they think of us and what they want to do to us, you got to take them seriously. Whether you just can't, you know, take that chance. And we've heard other reports that the Iranians have sleeper cells, if you will, here in the United States.
Yeah.
So
I would expect they do.
I would be surprised if they don't.
Yeah.
Be honest with you, the way they act, it would be surprising to me if they did not. Speaking of Syria, though, you mentioned that, and Barack Obama going to Saudi Arabia. Do you think that they're going to try to have any meeting of the mind over Syria? Because they do seem to be so very far apart on that issue.
Well, there were peace talks, not that anything came of them.
Right.
Just ended.
Right.
You know, I don't think anyone really noticed that they were going on. In fact, while they were going on, 1,900 more people were killed.
Is that right?
In fact, the latest Syrian military, their latest strategy is to use something called barrel bombs. They drop oil drums that are full of explosives and shrapnel from helicopters onto populated areas.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, but since they're not chemical weapons, nobody seems to mind.
Cheap and easy to make.
Mm-hmm.
And deliver, evidently, as well.
So I don't know what kind of meeting of the minds there might be. I don't think that President Obama disagrees with the Saudis. I think he just doesn't want to stand up and do what the Saudis would like him to do when it comes to Syria and when it comes to Iran.
You don't think that he's trying to I read another article that said that it speculated that what he's trying to do is, by elevating Iran, somehow create a better balance of power in the Middle East. Do you think he's that dumb?
Well, that's a pretty reckless that really is a pretty reckless strategy. If you don't calibrate that strategy correctly, if you miscalculate a little bit, what have you created?
Right.
It's, the whole region is enough of a powder keg as it is.
Yeah. It's speaking of powder keg, right now, you know, evidently it's fairly quiet in and around Israel. Is there a feeling that this is more or less a calm before the storm, or is the feeling that all the bad guys are just sort of preoccupied for right now? Let's enjoy it while we can.
Well, there was a report last week that showed that that was in the papers here that showed that there are 170,000 rockets pointed at Israel. You know, that's, and yet life goes on here. It's right. Kind of a pretty funny thing in a way. And in fact, over the last month from Gaza, there has been pretty much one rocket every day aimed at Israel's southern cities.
Right.
There hasn't been any major damage done yet. The Iron Dome system seems to have taken out any of the rockets that were heading toward populated areas. Now also there have been rockets fired from the Sinai by Al-Qaeda affiliates. There have been rockets fired into Israel, to Israel's southern city of Eilat. So, you know, is it calm? It's kind of on the edge of calm. And I think even the calm here has a tension built into it.
I've got one final question, and I'll give it to the other guys if they have any. Considering what happened in Munich in 1972, how confident is Israel right now with sending the Olympic team to Sochi?
Well, the Russians are actually working with Israeli security,
okay,
which is, on the one hand, that's very smart. On the other hand, you've got to think, oh, boy, if they're working with Israeli security, the threats must be pretty serious.
They're scared.
Yeah. I think Israel probably has their, you know, they've got their own, whatever their own security apparatus is. I imagine, I don't know for sure, but I imagine that Israel is pretty confident that they can handle anything like a, you know, any sort of attempted repeat of what happened in Munich.
Yeah, I would I certainly hope so. And, of course, my prayers are going to be with your team, and hopefully they'll come back with a lot of medals. Nostradinus, any final questions or comments for Abe before we let him go?
Yeah, I was going to segue right to that, Abe, since we've been talking sports the past couple of weeks. Who should we keep an eye on in the Israeli team? Are there any athletes there that have a decent shot to win a medal?
Anyone with a decent shot to win a medal. There might be one of the ice dancers, but I don't know. You know, there's no ski team. We're not even like Jamaica with a bobsled team.
Oh,
there
yeah.
are a handful of athletes. It would be nice. Maybe that would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Create the Israeli bobsled team. There's no hockey team. Israel participates more in the Summer Olympics than in the winter.
But
they will have a handful of athletes there.
There's no camel polo? nothing, you know, I mean, desert type of things.
Well, the biathlon involves shooting. They'd probably be pretty good at that.
Sure.
All right, Abe. Thanks again so very much for being with us tonight. You always give us the insights that we couldn't find anywhere else, and we so very much appreciate that. And, yeah, check your fillings for that mercury stuff. And
okay.
All right. God bless you, and good night.
Thanks, Abe.
All right. That's, of course, our man Abe Katzman from Jerusalem. You can find his work at abekatzman.com. And, of course, you'll find it all over the Israeli media. We'll be right back.
Mr. Dennis and Mayor Adams. Ooh, the American adversaries. These guys stimulate my brain.
Yes, folks, just her brain. I'm telling you that. She's a sweet gal. Anyway, that's us, the guys you just mentioned. Nostradinus is on the line. I'm Lair Adams. Christopher Hart is across the table from me. Nostradinus, let me ask you a question, buddy. Now, Dinesh D'Souza, who did 2016?
2016, that's right.
Yes.
Of Obama's rage.
Yes, and he kind of seems to be suffering a little bit of a backlash over maybe some of his actions.
You know, didn't the IRS get in trouble for targeting conservative groups?
Well, no.
Well,
they were found out, but they didn't get in any trouble over it.
Yeah. Well, last Thursday, he was indicted, D'Souza was, on federal charges of violating campaign finance laws. Here's what happened. They don't name the Senate candidate in the case, but it appears that he gave money. Actually, he wanted to reimburse friends who he asked to donate money to the campaign of a Republican running for Senate. It turns out it's probably a fellow student of his at Dartmouth College, Wendy Long, who was a Republican who lost big time to Kirsten Gillibrand for the Senate seat in New York in 2012. Long raised less than $1 million for her campaign, and D'Souza is alleged to have asked friends to donate a total of $20,000 to the campaign, and then he was going to pay them back for it.
And this is apparently what the two fellas who have been indicted, one of the things that they did while they were here in the United States to keep from being sent back to Ecuador, the two businessmen, that they did the same thing to Robert Menendez's campaign. They had relatives send him money on their behalf, which they, of course, they paid the actual bill. And the administration doesn't seem to be too upset about these two fellas, but of course, they didn't make the movie 2016, which exposed Barack Obama.
That's right. And D'Souza is in the process of making a new movie, a sequel, basically, called America, that should be out sometime next year, as long as he's not sent to prison. The counts that he is charged with, making an illegal campaign contribution, carries a maximum sentence of 2 years in prison. But he's charged with a count of causing false statements to be made to the Federal Election Commission. In other words, by not identifying where the money is alleged to have come from. That charge carries a 5-year maximum prison sentence. Here's the thing, though. He was indicted by the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney. His name is Preet Bharara. You might not know the name, but in 2012, he was named by Time Magazine as one of the most 100 influential people in the world. He was named to the post, U.S. Attorney for Southern District of New York, by Barack Obama in May of 2009.
One of the 100 most influential people in the world.
That's what they say.
Because he's the prosecutor in that district?
Because he's a prosecutor in that district, he was involved in busting Wall Street financiers for insider trading back when he was an assistant to the U.S. attorney.
I'd like somebody to look into his campaign contributions. This is not good news for Dinesh D'Souza. First of all, federal prosecutors have a success rate of something like 95%. They generally don't bring charges unless they can convict. However, this seems to be laced with politics. And is there any indication that D'Souza did what he's been accused of?
Well, it's a matter of connecting the dots. The dots are out there, and it remains to be seen whether he actually committed anything against the law.
Let me tell you, go ahead.
This fellow Bharara, before he worked for the Southern District as U.S. attorney, he served as the chief counsel to Senator Chuck Schumer. So to say that this indictment has no political overtones, that's really disingenuous.
Oh, absolutely. And, of course, this mob style, as Lair characterizes it, and I believe so accurately so, the mob style politics that comes out of Chicago, this fits right in. That documentary, wasn't it only second to Fahrenheit 9/11 as the most seen or bought or ticket sold documentary?
Yes, the second biggest grossing political documentary of all time. And it's ironic that you mentioned the mob, because Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney, made his chops in Lower Manhattan bringing criminal cases against the Gambino and Colombo crime families back in the 80s.
Ah, interesting.
Oh, no, not Peter Falk.
No.
Different Colombo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So I just want to give this plug, though. Mike Gallagher has been talking about this on his show, and he's going to have Dinesh on his show tomorrow morning. So, folks, you may want to tune in to Mike Gallagher right here, 9 a.m. to noon.
On this station.
On this station, AM 660, The Answer, to find out what Dinesh D'Souza's answers are to these charges, because they are serious charges. And I guarantee you that this White House will definitely, this prosecutor will definitely go after some jail time for the man. They've already set his bond extremely high, I presume because they argue that he is a flight risk, unlike, say, an American citizen who may be charged with murder and have a far less of a bond. But it does seem strange. Now, what was the... what was the lawyer? Oh, Lord, his name slips in my mind right now. In the O.J. Simpson case, Dershowitz.
Yeah, oh, Alan Dershowitz, yeah.
Yeah, he's saying that this is a travesty of justice, that this sort of thing, even if he's guilty of it, that it doesn't warrant this type of jail time, nor that type of bail, but, to be honest with you. He also says that there were something like $2 million worth of known illegal contributions that the Obama campaign solicited themselves that no one ever did anything about.
Yeah, and to pick this out for a candidate who lost overwhelmingly to Kirsten Gillibrand, that seems like selective jurisprudence or selective prosecution.
Yeah.
Well, I think this administration is known for that.
Well, but if the man broke the law, he put himself in jeopardy. That is the question, if he actually did do what they are alleging. And then the other thing would be, if he did, is that serious of a jail warrant? Does the crime warrant that serious of a jail term? It warrants watching, because if the man is innocent, then this is a serious breach of the public trust. Let's just put it that way mildly. If the man is guilty, however, it would be a very, very unfortunate thing, because he is an extremely talented man, and he is doing one of the things that we try to do, and that is to use the mass media effectively the way liberals have been doing it for 100 years.
That's right. You know, it's funny you should mention O.J., because I saw a remark this morning that said that the last good run by a Bronco on national TV was in 1994.
Anyway, we'll keep our eye on this. I'm going to be listening in the morning when Dinesh is on Mike Gallagher's show. Evidently, the producer that worked with Dinesh on 2016 thinks that they're trumped-up charges. But we'll have to see.
One thing's for sure, Chris, this is definitely going to help his next movie. The poor guy may be in prison, but this is going to, everybody will want to go see this, his next film. It'll probably be the biggest of all time.
It could be. It well could be.
All right. Great work. Thank you, Nostradamus. By the way, who are we going to have tomorrow night? It's a great guest.
Yeah. Interesting character. His name is Dan Bongino. He was a Secret Service man who protected both President Bush and President Obama. He resigned from that post in 2009. Now he is running for Congress as a Republican in Maryland.
Maybe now we'll find out what brand of cigarettes Barack Obama actually smokes or smoked. Thanks, Dr. Dennis. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Don't forget, please call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399 and thank him for being a part of our show.
Don't forget, we'll be back tomorrow night.